So a very important topic, which I prepared well on the plane. And I'll tell you why I prepared this well. We'll get there. Today's topic is called, and I don't mean to use this word as hyperbole, something you'd see maybe in a letter in the Ated. I don't want to misuse the word crisis. But I think it's an important topic. I'm going to tie it in to this time of the year and many other things. The title of tonight's Vod is the Busha Crisis. The Busha Crisis in the Forum World. Now, I think it's actually, just to begin, somewhat of a continuation. We had discussed to give a shmooze this past Shabbos. So there we spoke about how busha could be an impediment to a person's growth. That a person who, even Moshe Rabbeinu on some level, felt embarrassed and made a mistake he made, even maybe none of our view, the reason why they didn't ask an Eitzah was because they were too embarrassed to sort of ask of somebody else. And the third shmooze the Reshiva has, the first Chiddush Halev on the Parsha, that Aaron himself was embarrassed and afraid to do the avoda by the Mishkan, and Moshe had to go and tell Mekach Nevcharta. There the Reshiva points out, even if it's quote-unquote a good busha, stemming from a good midah, but it could be overstepped and expanded, and this good feeling of busha could hurt a person and stop him from doing a mitzvah. And we were masber, that how's Lekach Nevcharta help, because it makes a person feel comfortable. And the Mela, the whole idea of busha is you feel this is not your place, it's not me, I'm not able to do this. But if you imbibe in a person, the Kach Nevcharta, you're able to do this, this is your time, this is your place. You know, I said the same way, you know, I thought one of the biggest kinyanim, besides raising money for the yeshiva, which is a big deal, a big schus, but what guys gained by collecting is they worked positively in the middle of busha. Anybody who had to do collecting had to get over busha to do that. And that's a tremendous kinyan in a person, because we see busha could hold a person back from learning, from doing mitzvos, from being shal eitzah. And therefore, the focus of the shmooze was getting over busha, even sometimes when it's a good feeling, to enable a person to grow. What I'd like to talk about today, sort of the other side of the coin, specifically what I call the lack of busha, the importance of having busha in the first place. Now we know Klal Yisrael is known for three midos. Klal Yisrael is Gemara Nivamas, are Rachmanin, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim. Now there is no shaila in this world that B'li Ayin Hara, this generation, if there isn't more chesed being done in this generation than previous generations, it's unbelievable, right? All you have to do in yeshiva, okay, you could read Sefer Avos Chesed and learn about all chesed and all this, or you could open your eyes and walk in through the Ezras Nashim and realize what's going on over there. The Ezras Nashim is filled with tons of products. It looks like Walmart's, you know, storage center behind the store. Where did all these things come from? Well, I don't know if I told all you guys, but I know the original story. One of my friends, right? Not the guy who runs half of Lakewood. I'll tell the story about him later. But that Talmud's also involved. But my good friend back in the day was very involved in this. He had a huge warehouse in Jersey, and he teamed up with a few people to start making Pesach packages at discount price, not flat-out tzedakah. People who are Beim are paying for it, so it makes them feel like a mensch. But Me'ira Gisa, it's tremendously discounted. And it's a partnership between their Beim chipping in, the yeshivas chipping in, and these Bali Chasavim chipping in, and gives people like an amazing amount of products, which really could last them beyond Pesach. Amazing, amazing thing. So that's one aspect of Gomel Chasadim. And anyone who's involved in helping give that out, I am Chazdei Lev, is another darga. This, I was talking to a Talmud of mine, so I say, I should be proud. Baruch Hashem, I got reports. I was away in New York. But Mrs. Palgan told me that my Mordechai was mamish running the show the other night. This, I was like very proud. So So the Maisa, this friend of mine runs Chaz De Leif, the guy who runs half of Lakewood. So I said, you should be proud, Mordechai, my little Mordechai is running Chaz De Leif. This guy says, should I get him a Chaz De Leif gift? Yeah. Right? T-shirts and this. All I know is I'm getting sets of mugs shipped to my house. Courtesy of, you know, my dear Talmid. But there's a tremendous amount of chesed. At the same time, it's a tremendous amount of rachmanis. I met with a Talmud of mine who recently got involved in an organization. What's the organization for? Well, Baruch Hashem, you know, nowadays there's a lot covering. You're somebody with a very, very sick illness or not 100% functioning. So there are camps that deal with kids, all these types, you know. Obviously, Chai Lifeline, Camp Simchas, Mishkans, all these types of camps deal with kids, you know, all across the spectrum with different problems. But my friend, this Talmud, told me the camps only cover, for the most part, people, let's say, till they're 20 years old. I'm just picking the number. What's doing with someone when he's from 20 to 30? There aren't so many camps, there aren't so many programs. Someone to hear it, okay, that's a niche which is not being filled. We have to do that. Now that's one darga, I think, beyond this regular chesed. It's a certain rachmanis, especially to be able to deal with these people. You know, my Talmud made fun of one of the camps. He's like, yeah, the kids are there just to party and agavarcha, you know, smile at the kid in the picture. But some of these other things are real full-blown taking care of somebody, especially people that really can't do anything. And that's a tremendous amount of rachmanis. So the firm world, we have tremendous gomelei chesed. Look around. We have tremendous rachmanis. The third midah that we're known for is by shanim, is to be embarrassed, is to be subdued. Subdued is a bad word. It's a bad connotation. But by shanim, I'm afraid, I'm embarrassed. I think that's something which, unfortunately, the other two areas might be very, very strong. And by shanim, we're not very strong. And look around. I want to talk about two areas in particular, the second more than the first. But first, I want to talk about the first. I think the first area of why, in our generation, we've lost to some degree amida baishanas is Baruch Hashem, we're so successful. Especially in New York, after being in New York. In New York, you feel like you own the place. I'm not getting involved in politics, but recently there was a major thing where a firm politician wears a yarmulke, made some very strong statements, probably rightfully so, you know, he was on point, but he really ruffled the feathers of, like, the mayor of New York City and this. Again, it might be all anti-Semitism against him, but he got into big trouble. Again, not going into specifics. Where's Chaim Lovett? But there's a certain feeling sometimes from Jews have that, you know, we own the place. You ever go on a chomod outing in the big city? Right? So first of all, yeah, not a great place to be. But, you know, and I think we're all guilty of this. You have a camp trip to Walmart. What happens there? Hey, Moishi! How are you doing over there? And like five hicks turn their heads. You're not Maishi. Let's have a scavenger hunt. And like, so guys feel it's mamash the opposite of Baishonis. Right? The guys feel very comfortable. This is my Walmart, you hicks. Don't you know once June comes, this is owned by the Jews?
Yeah, the kosher corner.
Right? The kosher corner. Right? You see what goes on, you know what goes on up in Catskills. Those aisles, huge aisles of kosher stuff. But it's not only that. It's the way they treat and behave themselves. I won't get into my whole story. I'll leave out identifying factors. Years ago, I got into a big hack with a Rosh Kol of one of the major Hasidic sects in New York City, where I challenged him with the question, why is it that Hasidim do everything but Rov Am in a very outspoken way? You know, we'll make a whole party dancing down the streets and this. Like, isn't there an idea of it's Nei Alachas? I brought him Rayas from this. And his answer back, I asked Akash to all different Hasidim. I really started up. And they sent me to the Rosh Kol. No one had a good answer for me. So the Rosh Kol gave me a good answer back. He said, the Ein Hachanami, you're right. And the Rayas from Chazal, they're supposed to do things with Nei Alachas. But we feel there's no other way to do it. Yiddishkeit is weak. And the only way mechazik is everyone do things together as a spectacle. I know it's not b'tznei halachas, but what can we do? That's what we have to do with mechazik Yiddishkeit. Could be. Not challenging the etzem d'ashkafa at the moment. But there's definitely a downside to that. Is when people do things like over the top, in your face, sort of like excluding the goyim, or not caring, not even Goyim, but other people, could be Jews too, what they think about it, sort of like in your face, that develops from the person a certain azus. I just do my thing. We don't care about anybody else. I just do my thing. Now, contrast for a minute. I want to talk about it a little more. Rabosa, you have to know, today was a tremendous, tremendous levaya. I feel bad. I have to leave New York. There was a levaya that was easily attended by tens and tens of thousands of people. You see these pictures of what went on in Borough Park, and then later in Muncie. The Skolner Rebbe, that's all passed away. Skolner Rebbe was probably like considered like the last of the older Rebbeim that went through the war. They rebuilt his Hasidus, and it was a big, big tzaddik. I'll talk about him in the second part. But the Skolner Rebbe passed away. How did I hear about it? I happened to hear about it by a suit sale I was last night. Some lady was going on and on. The Skolner Rebbe passed away. And then this morning, as I was driving to the airport, I hear on 880 News, Borough Park is going to be shut. Everyone should avoid Borough Park between 12th and 14th, 15th Avenues. Like, oh, that's what they're saying on the radio. Tom Kaminsky, Chopper 880. Is they realized it would be a big enough levaya that was like warning at 9 o'clock in the morning what it was going to be. And the shots of what went on, you see these aerial pictures and this and that. Tons and tons and tons of people came, Kavod Achron, a beautiful thing. All the other Hasidim went. They put signs on stores that the Belzer Rebbe or this Rebbe called a Bittul Melacha. Some guys are doing Rabbi Luban Sugya, right? Yed Zayin, that they should not go to work. They shut down their stores. Everyone should go to Levaya. Very impressive. Beautiful thing. But also you see these videos, the entire subway with all Hasidim. And this, you see Hasisha kids climbing on top of police cars, standing on top of police cars, watching, you know, the event. Like, some things could be good, but it could come start from a good thing. But sometimes you think, like, you know, we feel like we own the place when you could put, you know, 50,000 Jews in a few blocks in Borough Park, shut down the whole, you know, Tom Kaminsky, you know, everyone's reporting on this. Like, there could be a bad side effect of people feeling they own the place, a certain azus, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you're not going to tell me otherwise. It's a dangerous thing. And I think it's an important midah. You go into Ben Azmanim, and guys are going to do things. And, of course, no one's saying you shouldn't do something and have fun. But I think we would hold hashkafically, and I'll talk a little bit more why the midah of Busha is very, very important. But it's healthy for a person to have a certain midah of busha. You shouldn't use azus, right? Most you know that one. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Aleph talks about that you should never use the midah of azus, right? Like with a hak, the missiles of sharm about it. But, right, the Mishnah Berurah Siman Aleph talks about you shouldn't use the midah of azus. Azus is a very, very dangerous midah. So you can have fun chol moed, but you shouldn't. The fun shouldn't be, us Jews are taking over the park, and, you know, none of you guys could come. We're going to take over this place. Excuse me. like people do things, but it should be done in a way not over the top, not in the face of other people, not in a way that Chas V'Shalom rub people the wrong way. I got to tell you this story, amazing, amazing story. I read on the plane from the new sefer I bought in Lakewood. The Manchester Rosh Yeshiva was a tzaddik yesod olam. He's the one behind Chafetz Chaim Yomi, tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. When he used to go to Austria, he used to stop by the kever of a certain rebbe. I tried pronouncing the name three times. So a certain rebbe, buried in Wien in Austria, and he used to daven by his kever. One time, his chassidim hocked him. Tzaddik, the Manchester Yeshiva, what's pshat? Oh, well, there are tons of tzaddikim all over. Even in this basic verse, there are tons of tzaddikim. Why did Dafka come to this Rebbe's kever? Why? Rebbe said the story I'm about to tell you is in print. It's not some story made up, some Chafetz Chaim propaganda. It's in print. Asitcha Elyon, Parshas Tazria. And soon to be in the Musar moment this week. Comes the Rebbe, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, and he says, I'll tell you why I stopped by this Rebbe's kever. I heard a story about him. Never, didn't see it. He heard about it. There's a story about this Rebbe that once he was on vacation. Vacation, you know, takes a spatzir, right? When you can't drive, you have to walk, right? He takes a spatzir, and okay, at one point the Rebbe was tired, so the Rebbe sits down on the bench. Chassidim are around him, the Rebbe's sitting on the bench. All of a sudden, some unassuming Gentile lady goes and sits down next to him. Rebbe say, do you know what that means? Awkward is half the word. Right? A shiksa! Alice! There's a shiksa sitting down next to the Rebbe. It's more than awkward. Where's Pinchas ben Alozu ben Anakayin? The Gaboyim were mamish taking out their swords. There's a shiksa mamish sitting do by the Rebbe. And they're about to one of two things. Either get the Rebbe out of there or see you later. Right then, the Rebbe motions to them, don't. The Rebbe said, don't. Okay. But they're scratching their strimals. What's going on here? The Rebbe's mamish, Baruch Hashem, this is not the digital age. Nobody went and chopped a picture of the Rebbe sitting next to the shiksa on the bench. That would have been beyond awkward. But what's going on? The Rebbe says stop. Okay, they stop, they watch. The Rebbe sits, Nachamol is sitting. Then all of a sudden he goes into his pocket, takes out his pocket watch, looks at them, oh, it's time to go, and gets up and walks away. What did the Rebbe do? The Rebbe was quite nervous about hurting the feelings of Stama Shiksa. He was quite nervous, even though he's the Rebbe, and he's sitting on the bench first, and the Shiksa just came along to sit next to him. But there's a certain Derech Eretz, there's a certain, you don't own the place. You could be the Rebbe, these could be your henchmen right next to you, but there's a certain Derech Eretz that a person has to act with. Zok to Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, this is the person who I want his chosim, I want to daven by his cover. Someone who could be so cognizant and know how to weigh the Bein Amul Chaveros with whatever inyan of Kedusha, not to be sitting next to Shiksa on the bench. But he was able to weigh the two and not do it in a way which he'd embarrass her. This, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva says, is the way a person should be known. Of course we... You know, there are times and places, you know, we might have to do, there is sometimes, we also might agree, sometimes, Eis L'Asad Hashem, we got to, you know, stand up and do something, and okay, doesn't matter what people say around us. But most of the time, we should be cognizant of the people around us, we should be careful, be considerate, we should acknowledge they exist. We shouldn't walk around with feelings that we own the place, because people pick up on that. People hate that. this Rebbe that Manchester Rosh Yeshiva was constantly diving by his cover was someone who was cognizant of that. So that's the first basic area, which I do think in our generation, where, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You look at the store signs. You know, I was in Lakewood, and who didn't? You see them in Borough Park. It's mamish out of Torah town. Like, every store, I thought was the coolest thing. One of the pictures they have of the throngs and throngs of people by the Levaya, somewhere on 13th Avenue, one of the corner shops is called Shem Tov, which I thought was the perfect backdrop for a Rebbe that really was a Tzadik Yisrael Olam, and was nifted by Shem Tov, thousands upon thousands of people as Levaya. Yeah, that name in the backdrop. But you get a Shem Tov by being Me'urvin Labrios and knowing what the right thing to do is. That's part one. But I think part two is more important. And part two, I have multiple Makaras for. But let's start with this one. No, let's not start there. Okay, I'll say half a story. I was sitting on the plane, minding my own business, learning. I got a new safer, do this, that. All of a sudden, the first part maybe was Hasidish world. This is the Hasidish world, Litvish world. Sits in front of me, a young from couple. My gauge of people being the fact I go from yeshiva to yeshiva. I'm not talking about Chavetz Chaim. I know the score. This guy is not an America's guy. Sorry, it's on tape. Not these one and out places in Eretz Yisrael. This guy, I sized up, even though he was wearing a baseball cap and a t-shirt, but he for sure learned in at least the mirror in his days in yeshiva. Could be he's still in yeshiva. You know, there were tzitzis coming out, tallis string tzitzis, coming out of his pants, you know. For all that I know, he could still be in Kol. Hashem Yishmar. But, okay, wearing a baseball cap on top, was going with his wife. And mom was just sitting right behind him. And if you haven't realized, I do look like a rabbi. Pretty big rabbi. You hear good shtolts, I come to the wedding, and all these yeshiva bachrim, like random yeshivish kids, all like standing up, you want to have my seat? So. One thing I was going to get is like, kind of a darky kid, like, okay, whatever. Meanwhile, like this couple, I'm not going into specifics, but let's just say they didn't behave with busha. Adka. How in the world does that happen? You're talking about people.
What do they do?
That's not the question you ask. Because Mikey, just the hair. If I would say that, it would be lacking in busha, if I would answer your kasha. It could be for you to ask the kasha. But okay, hold on. But we're talking about from Yidden, tzitzis, nice black velvet yarmulke under the baseball cap. She was shuckling away, davening part of the time. But there's a certain lack of busha. I remember back when I was in Tiferes Yisrael, one thing that I implemented, which I think was a big deal, multiple things that I feel is a good legacy I left there. But one thing was I started for the yeshiva to get, it was funded by the city, social workers in yeshiva. And this way, guys had a professional to talk to once a week whenever people were there. So we were able to get it in Tiferes Yisrael. And I'll leave out the names for a moment. But this organization grew, and it was able to branch out to all the yeshivas in New York. And when I say all the yeshivas in New York, I mean the real frummy ones. So I was sitting with the guy who's running this organization. We were talking about things. And the guy tells me, I was asking, like, differences he saw over the years, comparing, contrasting the problems guys have. He says, I'll tell you one thing. He said, which is crystal clear. 5 years ago, I talked to a bacher. From bacher, white shirt, payist, works. And we would approach certain topics. would be very hard to get them to talk about it. They were like super embarrassed. And after multiple sessions, they'll somewhat get within the circle of talking about the issue without really talking about it. He says, within 5 years, he says, the world has changed. This is going back 5 years ago, so it's 10 years ago already. We'll all press the button in a second, what might be the reason for it. He said, the world has changed. He says, in the firmest of yeshivas, I see these greasy kids from the mirror coming to me and just admitting, without any busha, all the things they do. He says, remember this from years ago. He's saying, that something happened. People used to have busha, used to be embarrassed about doing certain things. Anything involving Yoni Taiva. There's a certain busha, a certain embarrassment. Unfortunately, it's been lost. Why has it been lost? Well, I'll tell you the Pashat Svar. Simple. Because unfortunately, if people are overexposed to things, whatever good senses that a person has, slowly but surely, you get desensitized. It's a chazal. And whatever sensitivities people have, they lose. Kedusha is not a buzzword. Kedusha is something real.
Is it bad that it's not.
Therapy? No, in a certain no. If they're dealing with a problem, then in a private setting, that's to do it. I don't want to get into big specifics. One of the big yesodas that Rav Shlomo Yochanan Harris had when he came here was we had a whole major discussion. I'll just reveal part of it about different things within, let's say, as a high school Rebbe, what should one do? And Rabbi Shlomo Sahara said it very clear. There should not be classroom discussions about throwing things. It's not the place. But forget, you're trampling on whatever good you think you're accomplishing by talking about and making the guy feel more comfortable, this and that. Rabbi Harris says, Shekhar V'chotzef. But Maya said, you're trampling on important feelings of busha, and not everything should be talked about in the classroom. One-on-one is different. But in a classroom, that itself, you are contributing to a person losing busha. People have to have a certain sense of busha. And unfortunately, slowly but surely, it's eating away.
Isn't the whole svara to do it because a kid wants to speak to Rebbe? That's how that you lose busha so you can actually speak to the Rebbe.
So there's two types of busha. You're right. My shmooze from Shabbos was, yes, you should take away your busha to be shol etza. But that's hani mili on some level. To have that private conversation with the Rebbe and talk about it, fine. But you can't risk desensitizing an entire class to a chomer inyan by shooting the breeze about it, by schmoozing about it.
That's how you get the entire class to do it.
So people tried challenging Rav Shlomo Yochanan on that. And Matan, he hit back quite strong. You can't trample on a important sensitivity because you think that's the way to do it. Right? The path to get the Hanum is filled with good intentions. You can't. There are certain things. We have to hold on to a certain sense of Kedusha, a certain sense of sensitivity to things. Not everything is open for discussion in public forum and should be spelled out and should be this. There are certain feelings that people used to have, they don't have anymore.
I don't understand that. If something's taboo, then no one talks about it.
No.
How do you make it non-taboo?
There's a difference, listen to what I'm trying to say. There's a difference between something being taboo or something being overexposed. I'm not saying it's not a topic. You can even say the word. But not everything should be like, yeah, you know, that's the thing, sure. You could treat a topic with a certain, but by making it so public, by definition, is making it light.
You see so much other things, because now, if let's say they wouldn't be about a kid, wouldn't speak to them about it, then there's sort of depression and all these things because the kid gets, can't get help from anyone. And he's all depressed.
So again, a Rebbe has a job to get to that Talmud and get there. It doesn't mean the only path to do it is by making public decorations and opening the floor to have therapy sessions.
It works more than anything else. It works more than anything else.
I didn't know when you became the expert on it.
I don't know. From what I hear, it's not more than anything else.
So
how else can you do it?
The pshat is, you know, there are lots of Talmidim that trust Rebbeim and will get to a point, talk to them about it. It doesn't mean that the only way to do it is to be flashy and to... you're tempting me into a conversation I don't really want to have. So I'm sorry.
Isn't that you just, with a better Rebbe builds a cache with the Talmud just feels more comfortable with the Rebbe and therefore he'll offer
right.
it? Isn't the cache?
Correct.
Doesn't
that's what I was, right. But even, you tell me, but for some people this is what they need, but literally you tell me that, but you have no right to do that. Because that's kind of part of the point. We're trampling on certain sensitivities that used to be there that aren't there anymore. And there's no doubt that technology has contributed to that tremendously. Let me just be mitzayer one thing. You can look at all the websites. I saw actually a distinction between Yeshiva World News and Matzav. At 10:55 at the Leviathan, I wasn't there. There was an announcement. The Leviah started at 11 o'clock. At 10:55, there was an announcement. Now, the way, especially in Hasidisha things, what's the ultimate thing to be at the Leviah? To Malav the Mace. That's a classic thing. But it also needed to touch the Aron. To get close. And there are people, the Mamash, get trampled trying to touch the Aron. What happened, they made an announcement at 10:55. The two Gersos. I believe the Yeshiva World won more, but Lav Dafka. The Matzav Lashon was anyone who owns a smartphone, it's also for them to touch the Rebbe's Aron. The Yeshiva World's Lashon was anyone who has an unfiltered smartphone also to touch them. Now the Skolner Rebbe, and this is what I remember him for, he was a tremendous Baal Chesed, tremendous Tzaddik. I was at the Internet Asifa, I think it was in 2005, in City Field, Arthur Ashe Stadium, the Skolner Rebbe spoke. This Skolner Rebbe, who is Nifter today, has always been in the forefront for fighting against technology. And that's why they made an announcement before the Leviah about technology. He was ahead of the curve years and years ago. He declared this is a big magefa, a big problem, and he mama spoke out against it. Probably more than a lot of the other Rebbes and stuff. He was from the older generation. It was a takif. And you know, Skolner Hasidim is not the most popular Hasidim. But everyone agrees he was a Rebbe of Rebbes. And he saw this as a major problem, and he fought it and fought it and fought it. And you see the world today, and what's left with the firm world, there's no shiloh that technology, again, there's different dargas. It doesn't just mean watching total shmutz. But even if your life, your mind is just involved with watching shows or watching a mentality to see how the goyim live. It changes your perspective. You act more goyish. The way you dress, the way you act, when you're on vacation, when you're not on vacation. People act in a way which doesn't... I don't consider myself old, but the generational gap between a person who grew up without a smartphone, people that do, you see a total lack of busha, a total lack of sensitivity, and it's a dangerous thing. It really is dangerous. Because if this is this generation, imagine what the next generation is going to be. And it's a pella. We mamash might be super, you know, steiging away as a frum nation in Rachmanis and Gomel Chasadim. But somehow that doesn't hook into the third yisod of Busha. And, okay, Rebbe, so people don't have Busha. Bosai, it's the yisod ha-yisodos. if a person doesn't have busha, busha is a big, big, big impediment on a person. He shouldn't sin. Busha is very much connected with Yir Shamayim. You want to know what people sometimes struggle with davening? People struggle with emunah. It's not emunah. It's not a problem with davening. The problem is these things eat away at ourselves. To whatever resolve I had as a Rebbe coming into, you know, this week beforehand, you know, we talk about the end of the Zman, and Bez Hashem coming back next month after Pesach in a fresh new yeshiva. I don't just mean free of chametz and well-maintained things, but the chametz is the Yetzer Hara. Rabosai, you won't recognize the difference of what it means to have a yeshiva which is free from any degree of internet access. It will be a different yeshiva. It'll be different people. I was looking at the guy in front of me. I was mamish sitting there making chashbonos. Do I have a mitzvah? How would I say to the guy? I'll do it maybe not in front of his wife. His wife goes to the bathroom, goes to the back. Maybe I should say something to him. Maybe he doesn't know. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know who I am. So it would be not so awkward. I'll say in a very nice way. Talk about this, such a nice couple and this. Maybe you could be. People lost any form of busha. There's no shaila that these things have something to do with it. We could get it back. But the way to get it back is by getting away from things. Just end with one story. A friend of mine who's in Habatzis Torah and is also struggling with all these, you know, policies. How strong should they go? Anti-smartphones. I know. I spent, you know, much time the past, you know, running around New York, New Jersey. Besides Shidduchim Hacks, people hacking me. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours hacking with parents and kids about smartphones. And you know, parents, yes, I believe 100% what you're saying, I believe. But, okay, the buts. Mi'ira Gisa, a friend of mine who recently came out stark about it, told me a former Talmud of his called him up. Before he got stark with it, so this former Talmud had a brother who was coming to the yeshiva. And the yeshiva was sort of going, should we be really strong against smartphones or take one of these half-baked approaches? And this former Talmud calls up his Rosh Yeshiva and he tells him, I beg you, I went through your school when it was half-baked. Please don't let my brother go through that. A moment of honesty. He said, Baruch Hashem Yishtayed, Baruch Hashem is doing much better. He says, please, I Baruch Hashem, I got past it. It's a world of difference. When you're in the sewer, Rockaway Boulevard, you can't see the beauty. Oh yeah, there's New York skyline. It's a slum. You're sitting in Sunny Isles real estate. You can't see it. You're sitting there in the garbage can. You can't appreciate the beauty. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zocha, you know, look, as a machanach, as a rebbe, we have to do our part. And whatever we can to make sure that, you know, busha is a very important midah. You don't want to lose the midah of busha. It's the essence of what Klal Yisrael are. Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. Whatever we can to restore, hold on to, whatever element of busha we have, will make for a difference in how we act, our mitzvahs, our veras, how we raise our families. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should only bring nachas to the Eibishta and all good things.